If I fear to hold another to the highest, because it is so much easier to avoid doing so, then I know nothing of Calvary love.
Elizabeth Elliot studied Greek in college with the goal of working as a Bible translator. Shortly after arriving in Ecuador, she married fellow missionary Jim Elliot, who was later killed while trying to reach out to the fierce Alca Indians. Here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth shares with us the insights from her remarkable journey as a daughter, mother, wife, widow, and missionary. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot. One reason that I quote Amy Carmichael all the time and do everything that I can to encourage my friends and my readers and my listeners to get a hold of Amy Carmichael's books is because they have so profoundly shaped my own spiritual life. She has been far more than a role model to me. She's been a spiritual mother. And those who have read my biography of her, A Chance to Die, have found also a standard set up, an example set by this godly woman who died in 1951 that is rare today. How many of you who are listening to me have real heroes? How many of you have known intimately in the flesh people whose lives you want to imitate? It's sad to me that not many young people nowadays have heroes. I had lots of them when I was growing up. And when I was introduced to Amy Carmichael at the age of 14, I mean introduced only through her books. I certainly never met her in person since she never left India once she got there. But I was hooked. I was immediately captivated by the message of the cross that is so prominent in her work. And I read every book of hers that I could get my hands on. I have finally succeeded, I think, in reading all of them. She wrote about 40. If you go to your bookstore and they don't have them, you tell them that they need to get those Amy Carmichael books. I mentioned yesterday a very encouraging letter that had been written to me by one of the readers of Amy's biography. This woman's name was Arlene, but I have her letter here and I wanted to read you what she says about it, just in the hope that it will whet your appetite, not necessarily to read my book, but to read Amy Carmichael's own books. She says, one cannot read A Chance to Die like some padded and pillowed novel. It's impossible, unthinkable. You do not allow it. At times I would want to curl up on a page, but then a thought, a verse, another drawing line would appear. If only my mind could reach without stretching. I abhor exercise, especially spiritual conditioning. It's exhausting. You didn't give me time to rest between workouts. Many times I felt uncomfortable in a seemingly comfortable place. Why did you keep pushing me, pulling me through the pages? Other times I wanted to cry, to criticize, to condemn. But then I would compare Amy to myself. How dare I even do this? I loved Amy before I read A Chance to Die. I love her more now. Perhaps someday in eternity she will come down to my lower level of heaven, and I will be able to see her brown eyes. Or will her prayers have been finally answered, and they will be blue? And this is a reference, I must explain here, to the prayer that Amy Carmichael prayed when she was 3 years old, that God would change her brown eyes to blue ones. And of course, the next morning when she jumped out of bed and pushed a chair over so she could climb up and look in the mirror of the dresser, she looked into the same brown eyes. God's answer was no to that prayer. And of course, a three-year-old child wondered why when grown-ups had told her that God answers prayer. What she couldn't have known then was that someday she would live in India and she would need to be taken as an Indian. She dressed in a sari. She had very dark hair, but she could never have been taken for an Indian if she had had blue eyes. So just another evidence that God does know what he's doing. Well, so much for that parenthesis. Back to Arlene's letter. She goes on to say, this novel speaks to me like the white rabbit in Alice in Wonderland. I'm late for a very important date. 30 years I have called Jesus Savior. Only in recent years have I called him Lord. I see behind me a stockpile of wood, hay, and stubble. Therefore I ask you, who can receive this saying? It is too hard. Our young children are too soft and spoiled to understand. Our youth too undisciplined to receive its message. And if it should happen to fall into the hands of a Christian, it hurts too much. Like the Word of God, it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Elizabeth, we're too clean, too comfortable, too careful to be reminded of the cold, miry clay closing around our feet. Don't try to convict us of our sins, and it is sin. We're too good, too right, too perfect in our own eyes. Furthermore, we're much too sensible to deny ourselves anything in order to stoop down to take up our cross and follow him. We have provided ourselves other ways of service, easy ways, token-giving ways. Don't try to challenge Christendom. We have been taught to accept bribes, make excuses, refuse sound doctrine, and get away with it all. We prefer to surrender unconditionally to our evil enemy than to risk a chance to die. Thank you, Elizabeth, for not tickling our ears or blinding our eyes to the truth. That leaves only one thing left to do, weep. Are we standing on the roadway to Calvary? Is Jesus telling us, daughters of New Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children? I looked at her work, I stumbled over mine. I looked at her love, I questioned mine. I looked at her Savior, for thee, Lord, a chance to die. And Arlene signs her letter lovingly, Sister Arlene Bryant. Thank you so much, Arlene, for that letter. And I hope that my listeners may not feel that I'm too severe, too hard, too tough. You know, I'm really not fierce. I may sound tough at times, but I'm your friend. And I think of a phrase that Amy Carmichael herself wrote. If I fear to hold another to the highest because it is so much easier to avoid doing so, or I might add, because I'll be much more popular if I don't hold you to the highest, then I know nothing of Calvary love. I remember Mrs. DuBose, the headmistress of the Christian boarding school that I attended in Florida. She often used that phrase, hold them to the highest, when she talked to us girls about relationships with boys. She said, remember, the girl holds the key to every situation. Hold them always to the highest. And I believe that she tried to hold us students, to the highest. Well, I thank God that Amy Carmichael held up the standard of the cross for me. She refused to compromise, even though it would have cost her far less if she had. A little sugarcoating here and there, a softening of the hard sayings, or a making of the cross optional. But you and I know that for a disciple, the cross is not an option. A reader of her biography testifies, as I've read in this letter, to the hardness, and yet she welcomes that message. I think of Amy's own words, Lord crucified, O mark thy holy cross on motive, preference, all fond desires. I think of the other poem that Jim Elliot used to quote so often, hast thou no scar, no hidden scar on foot or side or hand? I hear thee sung as mighty in the land. I hear them hail thy bright ascendant star. Hast thou no scar? Hast thou no wound Yet I was wounded by the archers, spent, leaned me against a tree to die. I swooned. Hast thou no wound? No wound? No scar? Yet as the master must the servant be, and pierced are the feet that follow me, but thine are whole. Can he have followed far who has no wound or scar? Let me remind you of the three conditions of discipleship that Jesus gave to his disciples and even to the crowds. He said, if you want to be my disciple, you must give up your right to yourself and take up the cross and follow me. Maybe that sounds hard, but there's no describing the joy that those who do that experience. And in the measure in which I have sought to do that in my own life, in that measure, God has given me joy. Well, I can't even say in that measure. He's given me so much more joy than the measure in which I've surrendered to him. So let's keep following hard after him. Let's take up that cross and keep moving. God bless you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.